Today we're going to continue in our studies regarding the absolute sovereignty of God. Many are totally confused about the doctrine of God's sovereignty, especially today where the educational system has so promoted humanistic psychology and philosophy for so many years. And so the church has tried to take a middle road, so to speak, between, and they say that when you affirm the absolute sovereignty of God in all things, that you deny the accountability of man. But what they don't understand is the Bible teaches that the sovereignty of God and His sovereignty over all of His creation, including human beings, comes with the accountability of man wrapped in it. Okay, so you can't separate the sovereignty of God and the accountability of man proclaimed by God Himself. We're going to look at some passages today that really seem pretty self-evident that God is sovereign over all of His creation, and He's not just sovereign over people, but He's also sovereign over events. Now, it seems kind of ridiculous for me, or to me, that people that say they believe in the sovereignty of God, and the sovereignty of God means nothing more than that God is over all of the all of the universe, over all of His creation. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God." In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, you could just take that scripture and say, well, there we go. That's in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If He created the heavens and the earth, my friend, He is so sovereign over the heaven and the earth. Wouldn't you agree with that statement? If He created the heaven and the earth, then wouldn't He be sovereign over the heaven and the earth? And it also said here, all the way through the first chapter of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be waters under the heavens," and it was so. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass," and it was so. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven," and it was so. God made two great lights, great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." And God created great whales. And said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every creeping kind," and it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after His kind, the cattle after His kind. God said, "Let us make man in His own image." And so it says that God said, "Behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is on the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the tree of yielding seed shall be for meat." And God saw everything that He had made. Behold, it was very good. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. That sounds like God is sovereign over His creation, not just over individuals or not just over people. Moving on, we can look in He also created the serpent and placed him in the Garden of Eden. He said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That's in Genesis 3:1. We can go on and look in Genesis, the 28th chapter here. I'm just going to kind of do a Bible study today on God's sovereignty. In the 28th chapter of Genesis here, as it relates to Jacob's relationship with God. Looking at the 15th verse, he says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee." Again, he says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Sounds like that God, in his relationship with Jacob here, was sovereign over all of the events going on in Jacob's life. I mean, that's what it certainly sounds like in that passage to me. The 37th chapter of Genesis, the 8th verse says, "And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Speaking here of Joseph after he relayed to his brothers that they were going to bow down to him and he was going to rule over them. And he had this dream. God brought this dream to him and showed him the future long, long before it happened. And we can follow the life of Joseph all the way through. And we can go on back to the 45th chapter of Genesis. And the 45th chapter, let's look at the 5th, 7th, and 8th verses of the 45th chapter. Fifth verse says, "Now therefore be not grieved, not angry with yourselves." This is Jacob talking, Joseph talking to his brothers. "Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And God sent me," seventh verse, "and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord over all the house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." You know, he said, look, you know what? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God uses every situation in our lives to bring about his purposes. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And he uses evil kings, and he uses events to bring about his purposes. And he's over all these events and over all these things. He's sovereign over the who, and he's sovereign over the what. Yes, he's the sovereign potentate. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Okay, now let's look over in the 50th chapter of Genesis. 50th chapter. And if we look in the 19th and 20th verses there, he says, "Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" This was after the Jacob, the father, had died, and they were afraid that Joseph may come against them. And Joseph says, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." God is sovereign over the evil events in our lives. He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign if a drunk driver goes out and kills somebody. You know, I've heard people say, well, God, that wasn't God's will. It was, you know, the drunk driver do that. Well, God is sovereign over all the evil events in our lives, just as he's sovereign over the good events in our lives. And we see this, we can go on into the second book of the Bible in Exodus, and we'll look at a passage in the 9th chapter of Exodus. The third verse says, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Well, it sounds to me that God is sovereign over events in the lives, and also over the cattle. And not just over the cattle, but he's also sovereign over the camels and the oxen and the sheep. That's what it says here. And in the 10th chapter of Exodus, he says in the first verse, the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I might show thee my signs before him. If we go on over to the 15th chapter of Exodus, we see in the 7th verse, he says here, Moses, of course, is singing a song, and he says, and in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. Moses is proclaiming the absolute sovereignty of God, overthrowing his enemies. Now we're going to go into Numbers, the third chapter, or the third book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. Well, we're kind of skipping Leviticus, so the fourth book is Numbers. Let's look at Numbers, the 13th chapter of Numbers. Sovereignty of God over all things is proclaimed throughout the Word of God. Let's see here. The Lord said unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were the head of the children of Israel. You know, it's amazing that God can tell people what to do before these events happen. Because God is sovereign, God is all knowing, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's immutable, He's never changing, and He in the 14th chapter of Numbers, the 12th verse, he says, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God tells his prophets and his people what he's going to do to their enemies before he does it to them. So that's a pretty good sign, is it not, that he is sovereign over the events in their lives. If we go back to the 31st chapter of Numbers. 31st chapter of Numbers. Let's see here. We've got 31st chapter of Numbers. It's about, what time is it today? It's about 5:30. And so if you hear snoring in the background, it's my son Mark. He is a loud snorer. So, you know, God is even sovereign over Mark snoring this morning while I'm trying to do this this message. God also has a tremendous sense of humor in these things, I think. Okay, so here we go. We're going to look at the 31st chapter of Numbers. And he says in the second verse, "Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterwards shalt thou be gathered unto thy people." So he's telling Moses here that, you know, after he avenges the children of Israel, he's telling him beforehand that he's going to be gathered. In other words, he's going to die. You're going to do this, and then you're going to die. Now let's go on over to Deuteronomy, and we can look in the very first chapter of Deuteronomy, and we can see here a interesting passage of Scripture. Let's look at the first chapter of Deuteronomy, the 30th verse. "The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes." It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, you know, he can do for all of God's elect. You know, and he is a forgiving God. He forgives our trespasses. If we're one of his children, he will not impute our sins to us. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. It's why he came and died on the cross. You know, with arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do for his elect. Now, if we go over to the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, this is when God is forbidding Israel to have communion with all these other nations because of their wickedness. He says, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son." And he says, "But this shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen to thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and hath redeemed you out of the land, out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Sounds to me like the God's over the what here. You say, you know, God, you can't say God is over the what. That would make Larry, you know, I've had people say, "Larry, when you say that God is over the what as well as the who, what you're saying, that's absolute predestination." I'm saying that God absolutely is absolute. Look up the definition of absolute in the dictionary. He goes on there and he says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hateth him. He will repay him to his face." And he says, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away thee all thy sicknesses, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt that thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate him." Hate thee. I'm sorry. "Will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. And so this is the absolute declaration that God is sovereign over the who and the what. Now let's look over in the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy. And the fourth verse says, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Again, it's the Lord that's protecting his people, and he's causing events. He's bringing down other nations. He's sovereign over all these things. Now, if we go back to the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, and we look at the 8th verse, it says, "When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttering over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on high places on the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock." Okay, now, isn't that a tremendous passage there? It really is. You go on down to the 39th verse of that 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. He says, "See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and my hand take no hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and will reward them that hate me." So God is saying here, you can't, no person, no event, nothing can withstand him. He is over all and through all, and by him all things consist. And that we'll see a little bit later. Now we're going to jump over quite a few books over to the book of Job. And I can tell you that if a person really ever does a study on Job and reads through the book of Job, especially the passages where God himself is talking to Job, and then they say that God is not sovereign over the what, over the events of people's lives, then they're just in blatant denial of Scripture. That's all I've got to say. Let's just begin in the 2nd chapter of Job. And the 6th verse, it says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, verse 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now we know the story there, how that Satan had to get permission from God before he did anything. But what happened to Job? Well, we see what happened. Everything was taken from him. And we won't go through that whole story of Job. We'll go now back to the 37th chapter of Job. And we're going to read some verses there. The 4th verse says, "After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, he will not stay them with his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously, With his voice great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. The beasts go into the dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh a whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he watereth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud. He turneth it round about by his counsels, that they do whatsoever he commandeth upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, and whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. And hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou not know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? And then God challenges Job to give an answer to this. Okay. Now we can also look over in the 39th verse, 39th chapter of Job, see what it proclaims here about the magnificent sovereignty of God. 6th verse says, Whose house I have made wilderness, and the barren his dwellings. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by the crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will be herald the valley after thee? And it goes through all the intimate details of how God is involved in his creation's life throughout that whole passage of scripture there. And we see this also in the 41st chapter. Canst thou draw out the Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Folks, you know, we should not argue against the fact that God is sovereign over his creation. He's sovereign over the universe. He's sovereign over the weather. He's sovereign over all things, every intimate detail. Not a sparrow can fall without him knowing it. And that gives us great comfort to know that he's over all of these things, does it not? He says in the 11th verse, Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. You know, this is showing here about the Leviathan and how powerful he is, and God's the one that created him. And 42nd chapter of Job says, Job finally answered the Lord after God speaking to him and telling him. In the last verse of the 41st chapter, He beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of the pride. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. Everything. And that no thought can be holden from thee. And God knows all things. He's over all things. He's sovereign over it all. The 10th chapter says, The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends also. The Lord Job gave twice as much as he had before. Sounds like he's over the what there, doesn't it? Sure does. And the 12th verse says, So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. Now, you know, one of the really fun things when you're studying the Psalms, and especially if you have the sovereignty of God over all things in mind when you're studying it, you can just become you can become just ecstatic to realize that God's in control of all these things. Let's look at the second chapter of Psalm and look at it from a different perspective. As we're looking at these passages in Psalms, I want you to consider and ask yourself the question, is God really sovereign over the what as well as the who? Is this proof? Well, Psalm, the second chapter, fourth verse says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now let's go over to the eighth chapter of Psalms. And let's look down there around the third verse. He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? All sheep and oxen, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Isn't that beautiful? He's saying that when I look at the works of thy hands, and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, you know, he's saying, look, I understand that you're over all of these things. I'm not going to contend with you that you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all of your creation, and your counsel shall stand, and you will do all your will and all your pleasure. Now let's look at the 18th Psalm. Let's go back to the 18th Psalm. 18th Psalm. He says, then the earth shook. I'm looking at the 7th verse. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of the nostrils, out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret places. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, and hail, stones, and coals of fire. The Lord has thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightning and discomfited them. Then the channels of the water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. And he sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and with them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Well, that's a beautiful passage, isn't it? Showing how the God is over all of his creation. And there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, why doest thou? You know, the 19th chapter of 19th Psalm is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and is circling unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Isn't that beautiful? God is sovereign over it all. He's over the who, and he's also over the what. Now we're going to go back to the 24th Psalm. He says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything is God's. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? And who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. I know we're looking at this from a little different perspective today, but I wanted to do this specifically to look at God as being sovereign over the what. We know He's sovereign over it all, but there's people out there that actually say He is not over the intricate events in our lives. And I'm here to say He is over, even the very hairs of our head are numbered. Okay? Psalm 29, he says, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Some people want to say today that we should, you know, you don't have to know the name of God to get to heaven. You don't have to go through Jesus Christ to get to heaven. I mean, you can be. I've even heard Primitive Baptists say you can be regenerated for years and not even know who God is, not even be converted. Can you believe people saying those kind of statements? He says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters." He says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siron, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest in His temple, that everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. You know, the Lord will give strength unto His people, and the Lord will bless His people with peace. Well, that's beautiful, isn't it? To know that a proclamation that the Lord is involved in all those intricate details of our lives. What about Psalm 33? Let's look at that for a minute. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. All their works. He fashioneth all their works, it says here. Well, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? That is pretty amazing. Psalm 46. Let's look over to Psalm 46. Now, I hope that when we finish this study today, that you will no longer say that God is He created the earth and just kind of let it go and is just up there just overseeing what's going on. No. He is over every intricate detail of every facet of every part of His creation. 46th Psalm says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The heathen raised, the kingdoms removed. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. Come, behold the works of the Lord. what desolations he's made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Well, are you going to come against these clearly revealed word of God and say that no, he's not over the what, he's just over the who? I don't think so. I think you better be careful about coming against the Almighty God. 68th Psalm, the 16th verse says, "The hill, why leap ye, high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, even as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses." Okay. This does not negate the accountability of man, the fact that God is sovereign over all things and over all people. And we can see that very succinctly throughout the Word of God. Okay, now we're going to look at the 86th Psalm. Go back to Psalm 86. And Psalm 86, it says here, "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name." Notice that, thy name. "All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Thou art God alone. So he's over all things. You know, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Scripture tells us he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now let's go back to the 92nd Psalm, another beautiful psalm. And down around about the 5th verse, he says, "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand it. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquities do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. For thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. And mine eyes shall also see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me." And it says, "To show the Lord." Now, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, if you proclaim that God is absolutely sovereign over all things, you're making him the author of sin. No, we're not. God uses all these events, just like in the situation that we talked about a while ago with Joseph and his brothers, to bring about the events. All of these events come about to glorify and magnify God Almighty. He said he made the wicked even for the day of evil. Here in the 15th verse it says, "To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him." Okay, and I want to make sure that I proclaim that. There's no unrighteous God. He's holy and righteous and just and perfect in all of his ways. Okay, so we look at the 93rd Psalm, and it says, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the seas. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Now we're going to look back at the 97th Psalm. Isn't this exciting to know that we can show that God, our God reigns, doesn't he? 97th Psalm, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are around about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burned up his enemies around about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols and worship him, all ye gods." You know, I've had people say, well, if you say that God is sovereign over the what as well as the who, basically what you're a fatalist, you're a determinist. I had a guy tell me that. You're a fatalist. And what it's saying here in the scriptures is those that don't give God the glory and credit over all things and make him sovereign over all things are worshiping other gods. They that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, worship all these gods. But he says, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." God brings the wicked down. He creates the wicked. We know that they are born and conceived in sin. Adam, now we have to talk about the original sin just a little bit. We all, through our father Adam, have sinned. When we're born and conceived in sin. All infants that are born and conceived in sin. There is none righteous, there is no not one. All have gone out of the way. All of their righteousness is as filthy rags. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it's speaking there of his elect. And he's not willing that any of us should perish. Now that's speaking of his elect. But that all of his elect should come to repentance. And all of his elect will come to repentance. And all of them will. He says, "All that the Father has given me will come to me. And all those that come to me I will in no wise cast out." You know, all that the Father has given me will come to me. It's not an almost persuaded kind of a thing. Okay? All right, now, we're going on here, and we're looking at the 99th Psalm. It says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherub, let the earth be moved. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." He is holy. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at the holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." God is not a sinner. God is holy, righteous, and just, and pure in all of his ways. Okay, now we're going to go on over to the 104th Psalm. And, you know, we're just barely touching the surface here this morning. We're going to have to go ahead and do this in just two different lessons. We're going to go ahead and finish up with the Psalms. And then we'll do a second lesson with Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Daniel, Amos, Malachi, John, Acts, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Hebrews, Peter, Revelation, okay, that proclaims the absolute sovereignty of God over the what as well as the who. But we will finish up the Psalms here. And hopefully we'll be able to complete this, all the Genesis through Psalms, within the hour. Looking at the 104th Psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angels, spirits, his ministers a flaming fire? Who layeth the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys to the places which thou hast founded them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He's not over the... He's over the who, but he's not over the what, they say. Oh, really? Well, here it says, thou set a bound that the waters may not pass over, that if they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. Well, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests, so for the stork, the fir trees are for her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the hills. He appointed the moon for season, and the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and they lay them down in their dens. O Lord, how manifest are thy works in wisdom. Hast thou made them all? The earth is full of thy riches. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembled. He touched the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord. As long as I live, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Now we can look at the 105th Psalm. And he says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs and talk ye of all of his wondrous works. People want to talk about, you know, how God has, through his Son, given us this salvation, you know, and that's wonderful. There's nothing more beautiful to realize that we have eternal salvation in Christ Jesus, and that he chosen us before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of his Son. But it's also a good thing to speak of his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, verse 3 of 105. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgment of his mouth. So we need to be reminded that we need to remember the wonderful, marvelous works of God, don't we? We need to be reminded of that and not forget his wondrous works. It says, He says to bind up princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood, slew their fish. You know, we see all the plagues that he sent upon, and this kind of is a review of all the things he did over the what, okay? Their land brought forth frogs. He spake, and there came sorts of flies and lice. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire. He smote their vines also, their fig trees, broke their trees of coast. He spake, and locusts came. He did eat up their herbs. He smote the firstborn in their land. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Egypt was glad when they departed. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and the waters gushed out. I'm reading, folks, in the 105th Psalm. Okay, so this shows the wonderful, mighty acts of Jesus Christ. Yes, I can say that. Of Jesus Christ is the one that created all of these things. You can't separate out the Trinity. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are in perfect unity in the Trinity. They work in total perfect unity together. They are not in controversy over what they doctrine. They're not in division over their power. They're in perfect unity together. Perfect unity of the Trinity, all working together to glorify and honor this most awesome God. Now we're going to also look at Psalm 107, and we see in the 107th Psalm here, down around the 33rd verse, he says, "He turneth rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. He setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Well, we're going to jump over to the 135th Psalm now. 135th Psalm. And the 5th verse says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heavens and in the earth, in the seas and all the places. He caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings." You know, people say, "Oh, the Lord didn't have anything to do with the tsunami. Lord didn't have anything to do with the Twin Towers falling. Lord didn't have anything to do with, all of these events." Well, here it says he smote great nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon of the Amorites and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for a heritage into Israel, unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, for thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. It says he did all of these things. Okay, now, let's look over to the 136th Psalm, and the fourth verse says, "To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him by wisdom made the heavens, he stretched out the earth above the waters, made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. Smote Egypt in their firstborn, brought out Israel from among them, the strong hand and with a stretch out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, led his people through the wilderness, smote great kings, slew famous kings, Sihon, king of Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, gave their land for a heritage, even a heritage unto Israel. He hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." Isn't that beautiful? God is over all of these things. We need to bow the knee and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, that he's sovereign over all of these things. 139th Psalm, 8th verse says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when they as yet were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." Isn't that beautiful? Okay, now we're going to look at the 144th Psalm. 144th Psalm. The fourth verse says, the third verse, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou mayest account of him? Man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me, and deliver me out of the great waters from the hand of strange children." Okay. And he goes on and says, "Happy is that people that is in such a cause. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there are no complaining in our streets." Okay? Now, it's just interesting to me to see how the mighty hand of God is so present in all of these things, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to realize that we don't have to rely upon our own strength to make it through life. God will be with us. He will sustain us. He will make a way for us. The 145th Psalm, we're going to end with that today. The 145th Psalm says, "I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness." They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He reigneth on the just and the unjust, doesn't he? But here he says that his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Well, that is a tremendous... The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you have proclaimed, we've studied today from Genesis all the way through Genesis through Psalms, how that you have proclaimed that you are the only king and potentate. You're over all of your works. And you have caused all these things to happen to glorify yourself. Father, we thank you that we don't have to rely upon our own works of righteousness as we have done, but through your own works, you have saved us and called us with a holy calling. And not of works, lest any man should boast, but we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we may walk in them. We pray that you would take this message, that your name would be exalted, and that your mighty works would be made manifest to the children of men. We ask this in Christ's name and for your glory alone. That name which is above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ.